a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wakefield Crowbar. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Coming to you live from Wakefield Crowbar here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tons of stuff going on at Wakefield Crowbar. They got some stuff coming up for Easter as well, Paul. They're gonna do free family photos with the Easter Bunny.
Oh, the Easter Bunny!
Sunday, March 24th, from 10 to noon. Take photos with the Easter Bunny. There'll be a live kids DJ, open kids play area as well. They're gonna be doing Easter brunch.
Wait a second.
On the 31st.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, is Easter Sunday? Worst Catholic ever.
No.
I'm the worst Catholic.
It's next Sunday.
Oh, good.
It's the photos of the bunny.
It is Palm Sunday on Sunday, then. That makes sense.
I guess. I don't know.
I gotta watch JC Superstar. It's my favorite musical.
It is very good.
Right. And that, I imagine Passover's right around the corner, too?
Great question, Paul.
That means I got to watch The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston.
Oh, you just run down the list?
Oh, listen, those are my two – that's how I – like, those are my – that's me going to church in 2024.
Yeah, so most people watch Christmas movies around Christmas time. You watch religious movies and musicals during the holidays. That's how you make
around Easter and Passover.
That's how you just – you make sure you participate.
Let my people out of bondage.
At Charlton Heston.
All right, let's get to our Astros opening day countdown.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees, March 28th.
All right, yesterday Jose Urquidy met with the media. He did not say that he needs Tommy John, which is good.
Oh, Dr. Joe.
Dr. Joe knows nothing. Who's the football pro football doc?
David Chow.
He's usually wrong, too, so we're in the same company here. It reminds me of and the people who said Albie's leg was going to fall off. When he got hurt a couple weeks ago.
I don't think, Joe, that this should stop you from making prognostications about sports professionals' health.
I was just worried.
I also don't think it ultimately means that Jose Urquidy is in the clear. I mean, he's still not going to throw for 10 to 15 days. It's good to hear him say that he thinks that there's not going to be an issue. But let's see what happens 10 to 15 days from now.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, even then, it's throw in 10 to 15 days. We're at our opening day countdown. We're 8 days away. So he's not going to start throwing again until after the season starts, probably a week after. And that timeline, that's where it gets complicated, because if he starts throwing in 15 days, who knows how much of a ramp-up he's going to need. If he's starting from square one, if he's somewhere in the middle. Like, there's a lot of questions about Jose Urquidy. To the point where at least right now, I don't expect him on the mound for the Astros at a minimum for a month into the season.
Yeah, and that makes things very complicated with the news, at least per Jim Bowden.
Yeah.
That the Astros are not in on the Jordan Montgomery sweepstakes.
Yeah, I thought that...
Do you believe him? Are you someone who takes what Jim Bowden says at his word? He is a ex-baseball exec who covers baseball for The Athletic.
He does seem to miss more than he hits, but he does seem to have good knowledge as well. I mean, you know, Chandler Rome put out an article in The Athletic yesterday where Dana Brown was quoted saying that they were, quote, having conversations, or at least with Blake Snell. And you know, the question is, like, are they going to pivot? I don't know. I don't think they are. It's not necessarily that I believe or don't believe Jim Bowden. It's I wonder if Montgomery, even though, yes, I said Scott Boras is washed, if Montgomery's market is going to be that different than Snell's.
Yeah, that's totally fair to ask about what he'd potentially get. He is an inning eater. And he's also a recent World Series champ. So, I mean, that might be his big holdout right now. He's like, yo, see this ring? Where's my money?
Yeah. it's complicated because I would like them to sign Jordan Montgomery like I would have liked them to sign Blake Snell. But if they don't, it's not the end of the world, but the rotation's not in a good place right now. I mean, it's really pretty much as bad as it can get.
They need help, and you're going to need guys to really step up. And hey, the guys stepped up last year. What J.P. France did last year was truly incredible. But are you expecting that to happen again? I think that is optimistic at best.
I would be more likely to bank on that Spencer Arrighetti steps up.
Arrighetti.
The way Dana Brown talks him up and Melton, and I know Melton got sent down earlier in spring training.
Dana talks everyone up, though.
He does.
Dana is Howard Dean.
He likes to gaslight.
He's a politician.
Yeah! I would guess that Blanco and Arrighetti will be better off than J.P. France. I'm not a big believer. He's J.P. France, I think, is a very clear definition of a 4A baseball player.
4A.
He can be a serviceable major leaguer if you really need him to eat some innings. But most of the time, he's just going to bounce up and down between AAA and the majors. And then once he's done out of options, he's just going to bounce around baseball and have a good career. But he's never going to be a guy who's probably consistently on a roster after he leaves Houston, is my guess.
I don't disagree. I mean, if you're breaking into the majors as a rookie and you're, what, 27, 28 years old?
It's not great.
I think maybe he's 26, I forget.
28.
It's a great story. Blanco is intriguing because he has pitched well this spring.
Yeah.
But I never know what I'm supposed to make out of performances in spring training. Mauricio Dubon's got an OPS of like 1340 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sounds awesome. Also, we don't even know that he's going to be in the starting lineup every day.
No, he's going to play quite a bit. The lineup is in a much better position than the rotation is, for sure. I mean, the rotation is in shambles. The lineup, Jake Myers has a good spring. Dubon's had a good spring. Everyone feels pretty confident in where the lineup is heading. It's just how much can they carry this team. Josh Hader did pitch today in a minor league game, so he's officially pitched back-to-back days for the first time in the spring training. That seems like a low marker, but a good one at the same time. It's just, I don't know. I thought maybe they would go after Montgomery, but it does feel like that they're not at all.
Yeah, if Bowden's saying that, he probably has talked to somebody. And I think Dana Brown just likes to say that he's always working, always competing. But I do not think that they're going to add somebody. I think right now they're probably done. And, you know, that Josh Hader contract, it's a lot. If you give somebody else a contract right now, it definitely feels like that is going to work against the possibility of an Alex Bregman extension, even if Scott Boras, as Joe George eloquently put it yesterday, is, quote, washed, end quote.
Yeah, you posted on and Gelski, not Santa, immediately replied, I'm going to save this for when Soto signs a $400 million deal. Okay. I can get Juan Soto a $400 million contract.
You think so?
I think I could, Paul.
How would you do it?
Hey, it's Juan Soto.
Juan Soto was just 21 years old in that World Series against the Astros.
That was really the most annoying thing.
Did you know he was 21?
Oh.
Now you remember he was 21.
I'll never forget that he was 21.
Juan Soto is no longer 21 years old, though.
That's true.
That would be my counter proposal. I'd be like, hey, man, not anymore. Not anymore, he's not.
Yeah. He's not. He's not, but he's still worth $400 million.
I wonder if the Yankees actually keep him.
I thought the reports, the fact that he's already being like heavily looked at by the Mets was fascinating. He hasn't even played a game for the Yankees yet, and people are already saying they think he's going to be a New York Met next year. He will not be a Yankee. I'll go on record with that.
Okay.
They're cheap.
If it'll be really funny, too, if like it's another year of Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone, when the Yankees inevitably have 88 wins and are maybe like playing in a play-in game and they ultimately lose. Because that's really what I look at as the ceiling for the Yankees this coming season.
Agreed.
Where the Orioles are the Orioles are the team that concerns me most. I'm looking at the Rangers. The lineup is very good, but the staff, the rotation for the Rangers,
just like the Astros.
They're beaten up, and when the Rangers' rotation is healthy, I don't trust them the same way that I trust the Astros' rotation, which I hope will be healthy, but I guess maybe I got to stop counting my chickens before they've hatched.
Well, we're hoping and praying.
As a farmer, the Cardinals, you know?
I forgot about it. What a dumb quote.
I liked it.
That quote's so stupid.
We're all farmers when you think about it.
We're all farmers when you think about it. Yeah, what did you farm today, Paul?
I had a little cilantro from my little home garden.
Okay.
Yeah, you put it on my turkey burger avocado tomatillo mix.
Do you actually have a home garden?
Yeah, I got this like hanging garden in my kitchen. It's got basil, cilantro, rosemary, and mint. All of this is grown so I can put in alcohol or Italian food.
Those are the two things you really need them for, though. I mean,
100%.
Yeah. Like, what else would you need them for? The basil, a salad?
You could put them in a salad if you want. Yes. Well, I eat salad. Apparently, per some at this station, or actually, wait, he's not here anymore. Per some that used to be at this station, eating a salad is like eating rabbit food.
Who said that?
Patrick.
Did he really?
I think he was saying about how Andrew, the late Andrew Carlson, ex-producer, RIP in peace, he was commenting on Andrew's steadfast diet because Andrew's yoked.
He is yoked.
And I believe Patrick said Andrew eats like a rabbit. And I was offended because I also eat healthy. Doesn't mean I eat like a rabbit.
What's your favorite? What's your go-to salad dressing?
Just oil and vinegar.
Lame.
Well, yeah, because I'm not a fatty boombatty like everybody else at the station. Maybe I should do that so I can get some endorsements.
Yeah, it worked for me.
Yeah.
I got a gym endorsement.
Yeah, it's BS. I wake up early every day, go to the gym, and I'm shredded, and I don't have an endorsement because I'm not a fatty boombatty.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be not a fatty boombatty at some point.
I agree.
So we're working on it. Okay, I have a question. So those guys over there are playing Golden Tee?
Yeah.
Is that what's your go-to, like, arcade-style game?
Oh, arcade-style. NFL Blitz. If they have NFL Blitz somewhere,
yeah.
They usually have like the NBA Showtime / NFL Blitz arcade game.
Yep.
So I like to go back and forth between those.
It's always still Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat for me.
I love Golden Tee. I love NBA Jam. I love NFL Blitz. But Mortal Kombat, always the go-to.
Do you want to hear something really funny?
Yes.
It's kind of weird, though. So the first time, and I know a lot of people think that I lean one way on the sexual spectrum, but the first time that I knew I was straight was playing Mortal Kombat because I thought Katana was hot. I thought 2D, 8 to 16 pixel Katana in Mortal Kombat was hot. I was like, oh, what's going on
That's
here?
That's when you realized you were...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
I mean, mine was clearly the Titanic.
The Titanic?
Yeah.
That was your first, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because what, Titanic?
Was it the hand up on the wall in the steam?
No. Room? It's the painting.
Oh, the painting. Okay.
When did Titanic come out again?
97.
So yeah, I was 5 when it came out.
Yeah.
So I probably saw it when I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
That and Gladiator. Those were the first ones I saw.
That and Gladiator.
Yeah. What's the? Do you remember like the first movie you saw? This is a very rare. We're going.
Whatever, man. Wakefield Crowbar. Come at the bars with us.
Yeah, what's like the? Do you remember like the first movie you saw that was like that like terrified you, but wasn't a scary movie? Mine was Armageddon. I watched Armageddon when I was like 11 years old for the first time, and then I thought the world was going to end for at least 5 years.
I could stay awake just to hear you breathing.
I was never scared about the world ending. After watching Armageddon, the first movie that wasn't supposed to scare me, that scared me. This one's tricky because I think Signs is supposed to scare you. Signs gave me nightmares. That scene where the alien walks by the alleyway of that like quinceañera or whatever the hell was going on party, and it just looks to the side. I had nightmares about that for a week. That movie scared the bleep out of me.
I think it's still a good answer. It's probably supposed to scare you, but not to that severity.
Yeah.
6389, I hate how much that stupid trombone background music has grown on me
That's
over the months.
Shout out to the random trombone player on YouTube who probably has no idea that he has been getting his trombone played so much because it's a cover of How About Them Strohs, the unbelievably awesome I
still don't believe that
How
this is a cover.
How about them Strohs? It is.
I know you
How
said that, but.
How about Strohs? How about them Strohs? I remember way back when they tried to disrespect Mattress Mac.
Oh, he's on another one today.
What happened?
You see it?
No, what did he do?
He did a Ric Flair.
Did he give a woo?
I didn't watch the whole thing.
We'll have
yet.
To judge his woo before the end of today's show.
Yeah, he put out a Ric Flair commercial.
Yeah, these Mexican candy shots are hitting a bit.
Yeah, you're feeling good on them. Fake Tony Stark says Street Fighter better than Mortal Kombat. I don't agree, but I know many people. Brian shaking and said yes. All right. You know, one thing I learned today, Paul, there was a baseball game this morning. Did anyone know? Is baseball the worst at marketing their sport more than anyone, anything in the world? We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wakefield Crowbar with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We're live here at Wakefield Crowbar on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll be here till 6 o'clock today. We're here till 3. The Killer Bees will be here from 3 to 6. It'll be just, you know, Joel and Brian hanging out today. Fancy Jeremy's got to fly to do the NCAA tournament.
Fancy Jeremy.
Yeah. But a lot of great stuff happening. During the games tonight, during the first four, here at Wakefield Crowbar, they'll have $19 Modelo Towers, $6 margaritas, $3 Mexican candy shots. For opening weekend Astros Yankees, they'll have $1 beers, $2 shots during the game. So lots of stuff going on here at Wakefield Crowbar. If you want to come hang out, buy us some shots. Paul won't say no.
No, I
Paul won't. Paul won't say no because Paul's a good person. Paul says yes to everything.
I don't want to say yes. It's not a good person. It's just I'm very easily peer pressured. Mm.
You can be both. Why can't you be both?
I don't know, man. You gotta. Sometimes you gotta say no.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, like that. I wish I was the no man. You know, they had that terrible Jim Carrey movie with Zoe Deschanel. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good movie.
No.
Did you like Yes Man or Bruce Almighty more?
Bruce Almighty's great.
Bruce Almighty's very good.
Yeah.
The one was it Evan Almighty?
Evan Almighty was pretty good, too.
I didn't like Evan Almighty.
Why not?
I don't know. It just didn't do it for me. I thought Bruce Almighty was very funny, though.
Man, sacrilegious to not like those movies, dude.
Well, I don't know. I liked one of them.
Yeah?
Yeah. If I like one, it's okay. I feel like it balances out the scales.
I was considering Jim Carrey was out and Steve Carell was in. I was pleasantly surprised with the sequel.
Yeah. So there's a baseball game today. A real one.
There was a baseball game. Yes. Did you know about this, Joe, before
this morning? You know how I found out about it?
How?
Was the last thing that you added to the Google Doc. That there was a bomb threat ahead of the game. I saw that TMZ headline that there was a bomb threat before the Dodgers-Padres game.
At the Major League season opener.
And they cleared the bomb threat and that the game was still going to go on. And that's when I went, what game? So that's how I realized. I then had to go in, start texting, I know, whatever, people don't care, commissioners of these fantasy baseball leagues I'm in, being like, do I have to set a lineup today?
You did.
Well, no, because our scoring doesn't start till next week.
Oh, wow.
So, if I have Tyler Glasnow on one of my teams, I just don't get today's start? That's stupid.
You know what? I saw a video that went viral from Korea, and it featured the Dodgers and Padres, and there was some girl, check that, a strong, independent woman wearing yoga pants who threw out the first pitch. And
saw that.
I think she is a famous Korean actress, and I think she nailed the first pitch. I didn't see her actually throw the ball, but I think she nailed it. Every single player on the Dodgers was gawking at her in the dugout. And then I saw a bunch of the essentially the same people that are Korea has in Korean baseballs, the Korean Baseball League, the Astros shooting stars, you know, like the cheerleaders that you've got at Astros games.
Mm-hmm.
Korea has their own version of that, which is great. All baseball teams should have something like that, in my opinion. Sorry, I'm a dirty perv. But I saw that there was baseball in Korea. I had no idea it was going to be real Major League Baseball. And, yes, the baseball season began at 5 in the morning today.
I don't understand.
Dodgers, Padres. Look, I get that they're trying to make the sport international.
Yes.
It's cool for Korea having the season open out there for the MLB World Tour Seoul Series. Is that how you say the capital of Korea? International. Woohoo! Yeah! I thought this was America's pastime, number one. And number two, okay, fine, you're trying to go international. Can you at least tell us?
The biggest star in the sport is making his debut for the most hated team in baseball, not named the Astros. They're probably top three. Your top three are the Astros, the Yankees, and the Dodgers, right? Outside of your own markets.
Ohtani makes his debut at 5 o'clock in the morning for the Dodgers, no promotion.
None.
Now, part of it's that they don't have real TV partners, honestly. Like, when they lost ESPN, ESPN said, well, we're not going to talk about baseball anymore. They didn't promote it anymore. They got rid of their good baseball show that they had, Baseball Tonight. MLB Network's good content for the most part, but, like, no one... like
not as widely distributed or watched.
Yeah, and it was pretty awful for a while until the NHL Network had to basically take over it to make it improve. But this is a...
They're showing Shohei Ohtani hitting foul ball highlights on the television screen right now on ESPN. And now you get to hear the thoughts that everyone wants to hear. Jessica Mendoza's thoughts.
Oh, I thought they got rid of her.
She
sucks.
She's still around. Look, baseball's got to figure this out. And I mean, this is the second time I feel like in the last 5 years that the season has begun in another country in the morning and no one had an effing clue. I think when Ichiro Suzuki eventually retired, he did the same thing. They played the first couple of games of the year in Japan. I think it was Mariners A's. That was when I was over at the Texans flagship. And I remember we only found out because we looked up on the TV and it was there. I have a buddy of mine who, me and him, we bust the balls of one of our other friends who played baseball in high school. We like to get under his skin. And we say often to him, baseball clearly doesn't matter to the American population. It matters to people who have good teams, but it clearly doesn't matter. And this is proof.
Mm-hmm.
How, if you have a game featuring the biggest star of the sport, how do you not publicize it enough to where people just know it's happening?
Yeah. And like the text lines, like, oh, they've been putting it on ESPN for a month. Okay. Probably right. Here's the thing. No one watches ESPN anymore. Like, no one watches SportsCenter.
Yeah, got too woke, yeah.
Like, if it's not names.
Got red pill, Joe,
like,
huh?
I'll watch Scott Van Pelt, and that's it.
Yeah.
If it's Scott Van Pelt or a game, that's it.
What about Stephen A. Smith?
I don't like being yelled at in the morning.
What about Dan Orlovsky?
He's okay.
What about Mad Dog Russo?
Not good.
What about the Robert Griffin III?
Not good.
What about Paul Feinbaum?
He's a fraud.
He's a fraud. Oh.
I hate the high horse SEC crap.
Well, I mean, they should not be on the high horse. It's the premier college football.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or is there like two teams that are really, really good?
Six teams that I think are really, really good in a given year.
Yeah, but I don't know, Georgia, LSU, Bama, they run this thing.
Well, yeah, but then the second tier is way. I mean, you know, the only competitor is the Big Ten. The Big Ten is just Michigan and Ohio State.
John and Lance knew. They were mentioning the score, talking about that they hate Joe Kelly. Well, it was on TV at 7 o'clock in the morning. They were probably in the bottom of the third.
They probably found
when the
out
show started
because the TV was on in the studio.
Yeah. No,
and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's how everyone found out that baseball season opened today.
Yeah.
At 5 in the effing morning.
Yeah, it's just – it's the other thing, this is a semantics thing. I get why they have to do this for travel purposes. I kind of despise the idea that, like, the Dodgers and Padres season has started and everyone else's season doesn't start till next Thursday. I just find it weird. I know why they have to
you
do
should,
it.
You should – well, I don't. You should start it and then just have the season. Maybe give the Dodgers and Padres a couple of days off afterwards.
That's what they do at the London series.
But you should start the regular season immediately after. After the first game. It's weird to have it a week ahead of time. This isn't the NFL. I truly do not understand it. Yeah, are there spring training games?
Yeah, Greg just pointed out that they also go back and play spring training games.
They're playing spring training games for the next couple of games?
Yeah, they go they don't just stop spring training. Like they pause, they leave like the minor leaguers behind, they go play and then they go back.
Why don't they play the game too, like at a proper time for Americans? And I say this as someone
probably this, my guess is with the time change, this is probably the best it can be.
I might be stereotyping a little bit, but my freshman year roommate was from South Korea. He was from Seoul, and he was like on a different body clock. I was convinced that like if you're from that part of the world, that you're going to stay up later, because he was up to like 3 a.m. playing on his Game Boy every single day.
Uh-huh.
So why can't we start this game, I don't know, at like 10 United States time?
Well, I don't know what the time difference
is. Could you push it back 5 hours? I don't either. I am not a, a,
a learned man when it comes to time zones.
Well, if they're not going to promote it, it's probably just the better to have it so you can have a full stadium after work.
But it's American baseball.
People I understand.
People will show up no matter what, even and, if well, the game is late.
And it's Ohtani.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, I mean, it maybe, I would assume Ohtani's going to draw more in Japan than he would in Korea, and that it would be really funny if people from Korea showed up because they hate on like Japanese born players. Like, there probably is a little element of that, right?
Yeah,
be like the you know with the Irish people with like English footballers or something like
sure.
that.
Well, Ohtani did go 2-for-5 today. Mookie Betts went 2-for-4. The Dodgers start season 1-0. We'll see you in the World Series.
Hell
year.
Yeah, dude!
I need that. I need that Astros Dodgers World Series matchup.
I would prefer it to be the Braves because I want vengeance against the Braves.
See, I want to silence. I think the Astros have done a good job of silencing everything back from 2017. They won another World Series. They keep going back to the ALCSs, even though the only players left are what? Verlander, Bregman, McCullers, Altuve from the 2017 roster. And how many players from the Dodgers are still there from 2017? I don't even know at this point. I would still like to see the Astros play the Dodgers in the World Series and just really shut them up because the Dodgers are – they're not the team I hate the most in sports, but their fan base is towards the top.
But the Dodgers –
they're just obnoxious.
The Dodgers have already shut themselves up with all these times that they've choked. Like, I don't really take the Dodgers' view of themselves seriously anymore because they've had so many opportunities to get back. And this idea that they were so cheated in 2017 when – they were doing a lot of the same things that the Astros were. Just ask anybody about Game 7 and all the crossed-up signals. Both teams were paranoid about the sign-stealing that was going on by the other team. The idea that it gave one of those teams an advantage over the other one, I don't think is true. I just don't. I think they were both doing the exact same stuff in that World Series, and the Dodgers, like a lot of losers out there, made excuses for themselves. They've only won during the season where the pandemic happened and it was just a strange year altogether. I suppose you give them credit for that.
No, nope.
But I think what you really have to do with the Dodgers is just look at what the track record's been. They always find ways to lose regularly in the divisional round of the playoffs, not even the championship series every single time. And Clayton Kershaw's puking himself, but hey, it's the Astros' fault. So I don't really look at the Dodgers anymore. The Astros beat them in the one World Series. That's enough for me. I want vengeance against the Braves.
Yeah. I definitely see that. All right, our 10-minute drill, that's next here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Anyone thank me for the money I gave you last night? I told you to take Colorado State against Virginia. Yes, I told you to take it out of spite. But that's what makes gambling fun, not doing it for rational reasons. And at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, they match your first deposit up to $1,000. You can bet on anything, not just poker and blackjack in their live casinos, but you can also bet on all the March Madness. We got two more play-in games today. You got Montana State, 4.5-point favorites against the Grambling State Tigers. Then later, you got the Boise State Broncos, 3-point dogs against the Colorado Buffaloes. Is Deion Sanders walking through that door? Does Colorado basketball have better recruits because of the existence of Deion Sanders? I don't know. Truly, I do not know. But I am taking Colorado over Boise State, even though I'm not even sure which of these teams, which conferences these two teams play in. And you can bet on that with just expert advice from me. Like that at mybookie.ag. Again, the promo code is BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Live here at Wakefield Crowbar. Come watch all the March Madness games here. Astros opening weekend. We'll have $1 beers, $2 shots during Astros opening weekend versus the Yankees. But it's time for the 10-minute drill, and we'll start with some rule changes here, Paul, that came out right before the show started, or proposed rule changes. The hip drop tackle. The NFL Competition Committee has proposed a rule to make a hip drop tackle a 15-yard penalty automatic first down.
Veto. Defenders' lives matter. Veto. This is ridiculous. No one even knows what a hip drop tackle is. We trust these refs to get this right every single time. You have to tackle people to tackle them in football. Some people are harder to tackle than others. If you make rules on how you can tackle every single player, you may as well just turn this into flag football already.
Yeah, I understand why. Okay, I get it. It's leading to injuries. But at some point, they're making this game impossible for defensive
players. It's not the Matrix. As described to me by ex-Seahawks linebacker, Dave Wyman, you can't ask defensive players to operate in the slow motion replay settings that we get to see games played in after a play is done. It's physically impossible. You're making split-second decisions on where to attack somebody to tackle them. And as someone who was better on defense playing high school football than I was on offense, like, if you're limiting ways that people can tackle other players, you're just going to create more missed tackles, a sloppier game. I suppose everyone wants more offense and you want less injuries, but guess what? It's football. Injuries happen. I don't even know what a hip drop tackle is.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. So you grab someone by the waist, and then instead of bringing them down to the ground, basically your legs leave the ground and you fall to the ground and pull them down to the ground with you. So it's almost like a jump thing. I don't know. I watched some Cowboys fan post a video of Aiden Hutchinson doing it to Dak Prescott twice. To me, of all the rules they've implemented, it's probably the one tackle that's the easiest to avoid. But then let him hit him in the head. Like, pick a choice. You want concussions or do you want knee injuries?
The body will die.
You know what the players want?
The
players want concussions. The players, all wide receivers and quarterbacks would tell you, they would rather get hit in the head than have their ACLs ripped apart. So make a choice. Or make quarterbacks touch.
I wish it was as simplistic as, like, you hit the head or you hit drop tackle. So it's not like quite that. But I get what you're saying here.
Well, you can't land on the quarterback a certain way. You know, especially if you're fat, you fall on a quarterback, they throw the penalty even easier.
I just think it's this push for the hip drop tackle to be outlawed. Like, I don't know where it's coming from. And I just don't understand why making it more difficult to tackle somebody is going to prevent injuries. Like, oh, a 15-yard penalty means that someone's not going to tackle in this specific way. Again, you don't have as much control over trying to tackle somebody as you think you do. You really don't. Like, you make contact with the person, and you hope you have the strength to drive them into the ground. But,
yeah,
I mean, this is now another way that you can't tackle somebody. So what are we up and doing?
Yeah, it's tough. Also, the Eagles have proposed a rule that the committee is going to look over. With the change of the kickoff that's coming, the proposed onside kick rule change is going to be a 4th and 20 from your own 20.
Huh?
So instead of the onside kick, you would get the ball on your 20-yard line. You get a 4th and 20.
The 4th and 20, okay. I think it was 4th and 18 before.
Yeah, they've gone 4th and 15, and they keep moving it back. And the proposal this year is going to be 4th and 20. The Eagles the last 2 years have pitched this at 4th and 15, so maybe they think if they go to 4th and 20, it's more likely to go through.
They're upping it every single year. The tricky thing is this certainly makes it more advantageous for the teams that have great quarterbacks.
It's a 4th and 20, Paul.
Still makes it advantageous.
I know.
For
it does.
Teams. Yeah. Certain teams have quarterbacks that aren't even willing to throw it. Like if you have Kirk Cousins, if you're the Falcons, like sorry, you're not getting that. But if you got Mahomes. You got Stroud.
You feel good? Justin Herbert?
You got someone who's good at throwing deep balls. You got someone who's good at underthrowing deep balls for pass interference.
I think that's like the number one goal is how do we draw up pass interference plays on this 4th and 20. I like it. I think it's a good idea. I think 4th and 15 would have been better from like the 25 or the 30. Because giving the opposing team the ball on the 20-yard line, that's tough.
You know what would be better? The old onside kick. Because the game is called football.
It's the one play that they should just let you run on the kickoff. I get why on the normal kickoff they got rid of it. But just bring back the old school onside kick. Like, that would have been fine. But
there was nothing. Whatever. I mean, look, injuries happen. But it's a violent game. And if you're affecting the game significantly by changing the rule, and then you've just had it like this for a couple of years. At least a 4th-and-20 solution changes it. If I have to agree to some sort of compromise, I'll agree to it. But I think that it was perfectly fine before.
All right, after being traded from the Broncos to the Browns to be Deshaun Watson's new teammate, Jerry Jeudy signed a 3-year, $58 million deal, 41 guaranteed by the Browns. That's a bad contract.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
And now they just signed Deontay Foreman. Deontay Foreman, Deshaun Watson.
Hell yeah.
Reunited.
Deontay Foreman had, after Deshaun Watson went down, the highlight of the Texan season in 2017 with a big touchdown run that he had against the Cardinals. And I think he tore his Achilles at the 1-yard line.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Mike Williams signed with the Jets.
Interesting. First for the Broncos, excuse me, for the Browns. I get it; they need more weapons for Deshaun Watson, but I mean they already have Amari Cooper. I know a lot of Texans fans see this, like, why did the Texans do this? And I'll just keep telling you, I think you're okay at wide receiver.
Especially for that contract, you're good.
Mike Williams, you add that in with the Jets signing Tyron Smith away from the Cowboys, and Smith said that they're building something special here in New York, which made me roll my eyes a little bit. But people like what the Jets have done this offseason. So I suppose that hope springs eternal for all the Jake Asmans out there. But is this year going to be the year? I don't know about that.
You're the Jets.
I like to say that over and over again. At some point,
if it's going to happen, it's probably this year.
It has to happen at some point.
Buffalo and Miami, as we've discussed on the show, are taking steps backwards.
Yeah.
New England's going to suck next year still.
They will be bad. If Aaron Rodgers...
I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets win the division.
...is healthy, it is certainly on the table. Yes.
Yeah. All right, Pro Day Watch is on.
yeah.
Not in this year's draft, but Quinn Ewers today. They're at the Texas Pro Day. 96 general managers, scouts, and coaches at the Texas Pro Day, including Nick Caserio.
Yep. So, Quinn Ewers... maybe at the top of next year's draft board for quarterbacks.
Yikes.
Caleb Williams at USC Pro Day.
Yeah, he's hanging out with his future teammate, Keenan Allen.
On ESPN right now. It's Pro Day season. Marvin Harrison Jr. not at the Ohio State Pro Day.
I love this for Marvin Harrison Jr. I know there's like Adam Schefter again tweeted today, hearing neighbors might be number one wide receiver for some people over Marvin Harrison Jr. No Pro Day, no combine, no nothing. I love it. Because what matters is real football.
I agree.
All interviews and real football. I love that Marvin's doing this.
Remember when everyone had a giant pants tent over Johnny Manziel getting whacked with a broom at his pro day? They're like, no one's ever seen something like this before. And people were losing their minds over that Zach Wilson throw that he made. Well, people are too in on the draft. I think that we need to just dial the draft coverage back a bit. But it seems like there are more people covering it. More people who, by the way, are not qualified to cover it. And it's part of the NFL becoming as big as it has. I just think that the draft industrial complex needs a bloodletting.
6931, we are at Wakefield Crowbar. Come hang out. We'll be here till 6 o'clock.
Modelo Towers, $19. Yep, $6 margaritas.
$3 Mexican candy shots.
Hell yeah.
To your point about the draft, I tend to agree that's over the top, but what I like about it is that there's more hope today in the NFL for the bad teams than there was before this draft coverage really existed. Like, I remember when things were bad for the Bears, just from my perspective. And you don't know much about the draft. There's not as many people talking about besides McShay and Kuiper on ESPN. And you're just kind of like going into most drafts blind. I do feel more informed now than ever before, which I like. It makes me feel knowledgeable. Gives me hope.
I legitimately break down less of it because of how many people are doing it, and I do not know who to trust.
But it's like the NFL. That's why the NFL draft coverage is, you know, so much more about these guys because there are more people talking about, versus like the NBA. No one really knows anything about the NBA. Jalen Green was the first player from the G League.
Yeah, because no one's covering
the Western
G League,
Conference
really.
Player of the Week ever. So, like, no one really knows what's going on in the G League. No one knows what's really going on with Overtime Elite with Amen Thompson last year and his brother. So, like, you don't really know what's going on with these guys. And, frankly, the guys who talk about it are half of them are
foreigners.
And, like, Twitter eggs. Like, Jonathan Givony. Never seen what he looks like. He always just has the Draft Express Twitter logo.
Yeah.
I know he's a real person, I think.
For all I know, you made that up. I have no idea who
that is. It might just be Woj. Like a hidden version of Woj. All right, he's Paul Gallant. I'm Joe George. We are live here at Wakefield Crowbar. Sean Mapes back at the studio. Brian McDonald's here on site with us. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. So how much do you value March NBA games? And a garage sale for the ages. That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wakefield Crowbar.
Coming to you live from Wakefield Crowbar, Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll be broadcasting here all day till 6 o'clock. Just a reminder, tomorrow we will be live at Carbach. On Friday, we'll be at Nick's Place all day from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Killer Bees will still go till 6. They'll sign off on 97.5 at 5:15 for Texas A&M, but the final 45 minutes of their show will air on the stream and on 92.5. But, you know, we were talking about the Jalen Green stuff at the beginning. You kind of mentioned this a little bit. Just in general, how much do you value March NBA basketball?
Really, just based on the last couple of years, not that much, because I think we've seen some really exciting things from young Rockets players, and it hasn't translated immediately the next season. I'm talking about the close to 2 years ago for Jalen Green. He had an awesome stretch to end the year. I'm talking about last year with Jabari Smith Jr. Took him a little bit of time to get going this season. And now we're seeing it again with Jalen Green, and he deserves a ton of credit. He's answering the call. But this is a time of year where I think a lot of teams are, one, either in, I got to make sure I'm healthy for about a month and a half from now when the playoffs begin. I guess it's less than a month and a half. About a month away. And then there are other guys out there who are like, yeah, this season, there's no point. So, yeah, I'll play. But am I going 110% because I have a chance to make the playoffs? Some teams are. Don't get me wrong. Some teams actually are, I think, trying hard on a nightly basis. But this is a weird time of the season.
It is.
And it's a byproduct of this NBA season just being as long as it is.
Because even like look who they're playing tomorrow night. Like they're playing Chicago tomorrow night. Chicago's the 9th seed in the East right now. But they're three and a half games above the 10th seed. But they're 8 games ahead of Brooklyn. So they're in the playoffs pretty much at this point. It would be an all-time collapse. But they're also likely not going to catch the Miami Heat. So they're kind of just, who knows what they're really doing at this point. You're right, it is hard about the NBA. It's so funny because for so long it was the NBA season starts on Christmas. And now it feels like it ends in February.
Yeah.
Like it starts for fans really around Christmas. But the most important basketball happens early in the season and then until the trade deadline. And then everything after that's kind of an up and down roller coaster. So I value them, but we'll see. Maybe it means more this year because of Adoka. You know, maybe because Silas is not here. Maybe more of this will translate into the beginning of next season. I hope it does.
It kind of has to.
It better.
I mean, if I imagine if you are Rafael Stone, you're counting on this team right now to continue to do what it does if you want to be here long term. I think if you're Tillman Fertitta or the guy who some people believe to be running the whole damn thing, Patrick Fertitta, I think that you have to look at this situation right now and wonder, okay, am I getting enough people back mm-hmm. at Rockets games? Are we actually making people interested again? And, I mean, you got to win. This is, I know a lot of people hate hearing it, but this is a bandwagon sports town. You have to succeed. It's one of the reasons I don't think hockey will work here.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Yeah.
I want hockey to be here, but I don't know if it works here.
Some transplants will go to games. Some transplants will root for the team, and I am a transplant. You know, I've been here for 11 of the last 13 years. But
you got to win, and that's the case with this basketball team. And I really wonder what their ticket sales have been like this year compared to what they were hoping for, what they were expecting with Udoka taking over. I doubt it has been a significant increase.
So Jim Harbaugh had a garage sale. He's leaving Michigan. He's going to California.
Yeah.
What do you think was the most interesting thing you could have found?
Jugs of milk.
Like autographed?
Like frozen milk.
Khakis?
Yeah, I suppose the khakis would go for a good amount. It seemed like there was all sorts of things being sold there.
Yeah.
And not specifically the khakis or... I bet he's like one of those guys that has a milkman like show up with a glass jug.
Like every day?
Is that how often they come? I don't know.
I bet you can get them to come every day.
I've never had a milkman. Yeah, I mean, at this point, if you're Harbaugh, you got to keep drinking it to prevent the osteoporosis and stuff, right? Yeah. So I think when you've got as much of a appetite for milk as Jim Harbaugh, though, you're probably loaded with it.
You know,
maybe there's even a cow that lives there.
It reminds me, like I saw this. One of those like Storage War shows.
Yep.
And they stumbled upon a locker that was clearly owned by an ex-Michigan player. And watching them like dig through the stuff, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And normally I don't like those shows.
No.
Like all they were pulling out were these like all these different Michigan Jordan shoes and gear. I bet you there's some good stuff. Because like, do you think Jim Harbaugh is like keeping all of his Michigan stuff? No.
You think he burns it?
It just can't all go with – some of it can go with you, but not all of it.
Yeah, I mean, if you got an NFL coaching contract, but it is in L.A., I would imagine, or in the general area around L.A., I mean, aren't you going to have, I don't know, a bigger house so you can keep
True.
All this stuff? Why aren't they moving all the stuff? Why are they having the garage sale? Are they downsizing?
No, he's got to have room for all his Charger stuff.
Hmm. Well, how much Charger stuff could he possibly have?
How much Michigan stuff could he possibly have? You got to have different Chargers gear for him.
Yeah, but he's a Michigan man. Like I don't think he's going to – I bet he doesn't have a single thing of Charger stuff in his house. Why would you have Charger stuff?
He's the head coach.
Yeah, so, I mean, what, you need to have a wing dedicated to the Chargers? An NFL team that could fire you at any point? He played football at Michigan and is the national champion in Michigan.
He's got to have all his jerseys, too.
Yeah.
His Chargers jersey, his Colts jersey.
How much space do you think that takes up?
Not that much.
Yeah, I doubt it's that much.
My favorite thing about Jim Harbaugh is that he is in the Colts Ring of Honor.
Uh-huh.
Because I just don't know why.
Well, they were a Hail Mary away from being in the in Super Bowl 30 against the Cowboys.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
But
Captain Comeback.
Ring of Honor? For Jim Harbaugh?
It's a loser organization.
That's true. I think that kind of proves they're a loser organization.
Until they had Peyton Manning, they were a joke.
And
I mean, they had a long stretch from leaving Baltimore and getting rid of Shula and the post-Johnny Unitas era where they stunk.
All right, what are your biggest questions about the Rockets now that you've watched Jalen Green take a sizable step, it seems, in the last couple games? How does it work with Şengün? How does it work with Amen Thompson? What's your confidence level hit on all that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5?